Chapter 3, Education. In this chapter, we'll talk about the class I'd like to teach, the value of an MBA, how to get a mentor, and what professors can do, if anything, to engage their students. The answers to the questions in this chapter might make you think that I am not a fan of the current education system. You're going to think I don't see any value in it because I was a bad student, and there's probably some truth to that. It is deliciously ironic that I, an F student, have received invitations to speak at Harvard, Yale, and Stanford. School was never my thing, and that's unusual for an immigrant to say, especially a Russian Jewish immigrant. Traditionally, education was my people's way out. All my contemporaries were getting A's and B's, while I was getting D's and F's. The truth is, there were other things that were pulling at my interest. I referred to them. It was entrepreneurship. And I was lucky enough to have a mother that supported me selling baseball cards. I just didn't have the patience or the interest to study what was in my books. I knew that there was nothing in there that was going to help me personally succeed. If only more people had the same self-awareness and self-confidence. As a 40-year-old man today who spends most of his time with successful entrepreneurs and professionals, I'm fascinated how little parallel there can be made between one's level of education and success in the modern business world. I would never be so naive or misguided as to suggest that the time spent in a top university can't help you get closer to your financial success. And I know that diplomas are entry-level requirements for thousands of jobs. But I passionately, emphatically believe that the American university system has lost its value proposition in face of the speed and intensity of the current business marketplace. When you also factor in the unfair debt structure of college loans and how severely they can set a young person back, I think it's time we really start having conversations about whether college degrees are appropriate for everyone. It's a hard conversation to have because the American college dream has been so well branded. Even when kids know in their souls that they don't belong in school, parents make them go. Many grew up hearing that a college degree was necessary for upward mobility or interesting career, and that they are terrified their kids will find their options limited without those degrees in hand. They haven't yet recognized the massive changes that have occurred in the business place. You also have other scenarios where parents are at a total loss how to guide their kids because he or she got their grandmother's entrepreneurial DNA instead of their own more traditionally inclined DNA. But what pisses me off is how often parents' self-esteem is unhealthily attached to the accomplishments of their kids. They force their kids into an inhospitable educational ecosystem and terrible debt just so they can get their hands on that bumper sticker and show the other parents how cool they are. That's despicable. And I hope that anybody struggling with this will listen to this chapter and find the courage to strike out on their own and follow their heart. I'm a purebred entrepreneur, but I have no interest in making either of my kids become one. If they choose to go down the traditional route, I will support them. Seriously. Truly, by the time my kids will be of college age, the free education that will be available on the internet will be incredible. My kids' generation may be the last generation that holds university to such high esteem. If you're lucky enough that you can afford to go to school just to soak up the experience, network, or expand your horizons and ideas, be my guest. But today you can go to an incubator to network, and you can travel to expand your horizons. Why do you have to incur debt? Debt that you can't even declare bankruptcy against. By the way, you might even be paid to do those things. One thing's for certain. College will not properly train you to be a primetime player in today's business environment, and anything you might learn there about marketing or social media is already way too obsolete. The entire market moves at such a speed that even great entrepreneurs have a hard time keeping up with it. Within a month of your graduation, there will always be a new platform, a new app, a new channel for doing business that didn't exist before. Nothing except hustle, prescience, good instincts, time, and patience is going to help you master them. and none of those things can be taught anywhere except the school of life.
Hi guys, this is Adam Braun, founder of Pencils of Promise and New York Times best-selling author, and also great friend of the one and only Gary Vaynerchuk, and I'm so excited to be reading the next 10 questions in the Ask Gary V book. So let's get into it. 1. If you could create and teach your own college or high school course, what would you name the class and how would you teach it?
Adam, thanks for doing this for me, brother. Love you. Adam Braun, big Jets fan, so that alone gets me excited to answer these questions. I would call my course Why You Shouldn't Have Signed Up for This Course in the First Place. It would be a course on entrepreneurship, and I basically scold my students every single day until they were out of my class on the fact that entrepreneurship can't be taught. So after a couple of weeks maybe of scolding and motivating, I'd probably take the rest of the course to actually do something. Turn them into actual practitioners. Instead of them regurgitating some of my one-liners, I would actually force them to figure out how to make an app, or force them to how to make content for Facebook, or teach them and then watch them make Snapchat stories. I would turn all of them into practitioners instead of students.
I am a 14-year-old. I want to be an entrepreneur, but I don't know where to start. What action should I be taking as a kid?
You know, this question's interesting because I think you're asking me, I want to be an executive or a manager or an operator, because an entrepreneur as a 14-year-old isn't stopped by anything except his or her actions. I would start selling crap out of your room to other kids in the school. You know, back in the day, entrepreneurs in my time were buying blow pops at 7-Eleven and then flipping them in school. Later, they were ripping music off of Napster and selling CDs in school. Entrepreneurs as kids have always executed. I was baseball cards. You need to be whatever you want. Pokemon, iPhone case covers. I don't give a rat's ass. I think you're asking me how to be an executive. What can I do now to eventually execute instead of actually being an entrepreneur now? Take something and sell it.
I read Think and Grow Rich and it changed my life in a positive way. Have you read any books that influenced you?
All right, let's just get right into it. I'm sure you're about to pull over and tweet me or make a Snapchat story or what have you. At this point, I've now written 5 books, 1 wine book, 4 business books, and I'm starting to get very close to the number of books that I've read. I don't read books, though something very strange happened, and this is going to throw a lot of you hardcore fans for a curveball. On my recent vacation just a couple of months ago, I listened to my first audiobook. So pretty ironic, the people behind the screen are getting going crazy. It's exciting. So, by the way, I also realize you can listen in 2x speed. So if you're listening to me in 2x speed, buckle your seatbelts. Anyway, the answer is no, but that's because the only real skill I have is consuming consumer behavior, meaning the way I learn is by doing and watching. I learned the things that many people learn in reading by standing on the floor at Wine Library for 10 hours a day for 20 years, right? I learn by actually doing social media and then teaching people how to do it. That's just how I learn. I actually am jealous and envious of so many of you that are able to actually learn by consuming through your ears or your eyes information. If I could do that, I would probably be more successful. It's just not in me. So at the end of the day, the answer is no.
What advice would you give to a high school senior in America who's trying to decide whether or not to go to college, and which one?
In 2016, if you are an entrepreneur and you're going to run a business, I would recommend to not go to college unless your parents are paying for it and you just want to go have some fun and party and hook up and all that good stuff, then I highly recommend it. But if you really want to start honing in on your skills, go and start doing it because you're capable of it. On the flip side, if you want to be a lawyer or a doctor or many of the other things that take a college degree to become that thing, then you pick the best possible college that will take you, that allows you to get the job of your dreams. So if you want to become an employee and work somewhere, I recommend it. It will help you. If you want to do something on your own, I highly discourage you to do it unless you're doing it for the work-life balance of having 4 more years of playing video games and parties and all that crap, which, oh, by the way, now that I'm 40, I probably should have done a little bit more of that, so keep that in mind.
I feel as though online courses are usurping traditional education in a big way. Do you see this happening? And is there money to be made?
Big fat yes. Between Creative Live, Khan Academy, Udemy, Skillshare, there's tons of startups putting out incredible platforms that then acquire incredible talent teaching courses on these platforms. I've taught a couple that I know are absolutely better ROI than the college professors that have been out of the game for 20 years. So the answer is yes. And do I think there's money to be made? Absolutely. I see massive fragmentation over the next 20 years where you can teach your chef course on your own website because people are used to this, or you can pay a vig to a platform if you're not big enough, or you can start off being not big enough, let a platform get 50% of the action because you're on it, and then when you get big enough, you can do it yourself and make lots of money. I'm a huge fan of this, and let me explain another thing. On this education thing, remember, how people judge is what brings value to the equation. Let me explain that statement. Because the decision makers in business today value a diploma from Michigan or Wisconsin, or highly value Yale or Columbia or Harvard, that's why it's valuable. As guys like me and gals like my friends come along and start valuing actual data to prove if you're good at something, that little piece of paper will lose value. Whoever is judging dictates the rules of the game, and this will play out over time. And somebody passing, I would tell you right now that I would hire somebody at VaynerMedia that proved to me that they went through 5 to 7 social media courses on platforms versus getting that degree from BU, where my brother went, so I'm razzing, on social media. I would believe for them to be better from the online courses than the best universities in the world today and give that person a job. And so that's how you get into VaynerMedia. And as that becomes a platform play, as that becomes the norm, more people will do it.
What's the last new skill you learned as a result of taking an interest in someone else's passion, hobby, or job?
The truth is, I'm not very good at this. And so at the time of answering it on the show, I think I kind of lallygagged and said, you know, golf, because my brother AJ fell in love with it and I played a bunch of times that summer. But of course, this last summer, I played a total of 0. From a business standpoint, which is why most of you are here, not to hear about my golfing game. Very recently, Jeff Nicholson joined my paid team, and he's very passionate about YouTube ads. And because I'm so passionate about Facebook ads, I didn't take a real interest in YouTube ads, but he educated me. He fought for it. He made good points. And now I'm more interested and more educated and more passionate about pre-rolls on YouTube because I understand the Google search functionalities. So I became a better practitioner through his sheer enthusiasm for the execution.
I'm a self-taught media marketer. Is it worth taking courses before applying for jobs?
Yes and no. Let me explain. One of the great skills of my life is reverse engineering the finish line. So, if you want to get a job at VaynerMedia, no. Because we're going to judge on the test that we give you, and we don't care if you came out of a rock, or if you're a Martian, or even a Patriots fan. If you pass it, we're interested. Yes, if you're going to go to a place that actually values you taking those courses. If you go to Ogilvy's or Google's or some other company's page and they say they like that and that will give you a better chance to get the job, then you do that. Understanding where you're going and where you want to be should absolutely dictate your actions. That's why yes and no.
Any tips on how to get a mentor?
So I often talk about take advice from people that have actually done it. I always get mad when people read business books from people that weren't actual businessmen or women. And so this question's tricky for me because I'm not great at having a mentor. The closest thing that I've ever had to a mentor was my dad. And even that, at the age of 16, 17, and 18, I started pushing away from. I started trying to be the mentor to my dad instead of the other way around. Much like many of my answers, I think you go out and grab it. And I think another thing that you need to think about is actually providing value to the other person. How are you going to get Mark Cuban or Damon John or Gary Vaynerchuk or Tim Ferriss or anybody else to be your mentor? How are you going to get Jack Welch, one of the greatest CEOs, to be your mentor? The answer may lie in listening instead of talking. Let me explain. I think one of the best ways to get a mentor is to go on Twitter and find the 5 to 10 people that are your dream mentors and watch what they're talking about. Find out what matters to them. For example, let's use real life examples. Damon John right now is promoting his book. Right now, if you could provide value to him selling more books by saying, I will follow you around for 16 hours a day and I will do anything you say, but by just being around you, I will soak up things that will teach me. I think that people always want things and instead they don't think that they can provide value. Unbelievable iconic business people are actually more open to having somebody to mentor when they have something of need of that moment. I run through times where I don't need it at all and I would not be open to it and I get 1,000 emails and I won't look for it. But at times where I'm promoting or I'm scaling, I may because I say, look, there's a value exchange here. So I think the best way to get a mentor is first to shoot high. Make a list of the 10 people in the world that you dream of. And then you kind of figure out what is important to them. And then you make a proposition. Hey, I know this matters to you. Let me help you. And I've seen this work time and time and time again. And that is my advice.
What advice do you have for professors to engage college students in the classroom? What about outside of class?
Earlier in this book, I referenced the fact that young people have more respect than we've ever seen in the boardroom. And that trickles into this question. Professors have to understand the level of disrespect that a lot of their students have against their own POVs of their professors because they understand these platforms and technologies better than the professor. And so I actually think this is a stunningly interesting answer. I think the answer is humility. I think that one of the number one things that professors need to do is actually have enough humility to acknowledge that the classroom may know more about Yik Yak or Musical.ly or Snapchat. However, these professors should know much more about the principles and the tried and true, and they should take the theses and deploy them against the transactional actions of the modern marketplace. And so they should create an environment where they're open with their classroom. Then tactically, by establishing that trust, they can start actually engaging with their students on some of these platforms, creating events where they're all learning together. Use that momentum to reach out to entrepreneurs to come in. For example, some of the best courses I've ever taught were because professors used their classroom to hit me up on Twitter and beg me to come to the university and give a talk. And so it all took the humility of the professor, and I see this every day, not saying, well, I know, and you don't, or Facebook will never amount to anything, which was so cliche. And so that religious point of view first, and then tactically to engage, once you have that trust, you can do a ton of tactics underneath that, like start Facebook groups, Snapchat with your students, a million different things that create relevancy and get them into practice of being a practitioner of that marketing instead of just hearing about it.
I'm 10 years old. Which one of your books should I read first, and when should I read it? I can't decide.
You should read this one because it's the one that I want to sell right now because it's the newest one. The truth is, Ask Gary Vee, I hope a lot of you see this, is kind of like a Crush It 2.0. Crush It was clearly, you know, look, the first book you put out probably in a lot of ways is your biggest truth at that point because it's all pent up. And then you kind of go from that North Star and you talk about other things. Ask Gary Vee, this is my most complete view on not only the tactics, but the mentality, the strategy around business and entrepreneurship. So I do believe that this book right now, a very meta answer, is the answer. I do believe that Jab, 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 Right Hook is a very black and white. The reason there is no audiobook, the only one of mine that there isn't, is it's so tactical, it's so visual, that I didn't think there was value in the audiobook. It would just be such a disconnect. So I would say after getting the thesis and the strategy and blueprint from this book, to go to Jab, 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 Right Hook, because it's the most modern around actual practitioner executions.
Hey, it's Benwin again. Remember me? Here's another question. Morale in public education is at an all-time low right now. How do we create a thank you economy despite government mandates, curricula that aren't effective today, no funding, and most of all, high stress and pressure on teachers?
Hey, Steve, great to hear from you again. Thanks for jumping in. Steve, listeners, I got bad news. And my sister is a teacher. The answer is you can't. The machine is too broken. It's too big. The thought that we can switch all those things right now, government, history, infrastructure, legacy, it's just not gonna happen. What's gonna happen is what happens in business, which is something comes along and disrupts it. A car was invented, which disrupted the horse and buggy. Uber came along and disrupted taxi services. All of a sudden, taxi services are doing all these great things because they were forced to. They didn't want to innovate. Unfortunately, education, the way we know it, the way we all know it that are listening right now, is a broken machine in the modern information world. We live in a world where our kids are being taught information to regurgitate it, yet it is literally at their fingertips on their phone. It's just a problem. I do not believe it's going to be fixed. What I do believe is going to happen is a new version of it. If you really care about education, you shouldn't care how it's being deployed. You don't care about education and also believe in a K-12 college system. If you believe in education, you could be informed in any way, and that's what we should focus on. Putting our kids in the best position to succeed in 2020, 2030, 2040, and reading who the 9th president of the United States is and then regurgitating it 6 weeks later on a Scantron isn't the fucking answer.